Hello, this is Ellie for Christians on Campus. So for the second item of the Common Faith series, we come to the topic of God becoming a man. The title of today's message is The Son of God, Even God Himself Becoming a Man. So let's see how God becoming a man is revealed in the Bible, and we'll start out by reading two verses. John 1:1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 says, And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. So these verses show us that the Word, which is God, became flesh. And now we come to our first topic, the incarnation of Christ as God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, And confessedly, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. This one who was manifested in the flesh, is Christ. Again, John 1:14 says, And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality. So this verse shows us the incarnation of the Word, but John 1:1 says that the Word was God, and God here is the complete God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Colossians 2:9 says, For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This verse shows us that Christ is the embodiment of the triune God. Therefore, the incarnation of Christ is the incarnation of the triune God. Now we come to our next point, which is the incarnation of the Son of God. Romans 8:3 says, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of the flesh of sin and concerning sin, condemns sin in the flesh. We see here that God's incarnation was the incarnation of the Son of God. So on this point, we would like to leave you with this important statement, and that is, in his essence, God is one, and in his move, or economical move, God is three. Now we come to our next point, which is God the Father having participated in incarnation. Isaiah 9:6 says, For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government is upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. So this verse from the Old Testament says that a son was given to us. This was the incarnation. Then, we can also see that the Son given to us in incarnation is called the Eternal Father. Is this one the Son or the Father? John 5:43a says, I have come in the name of my Father. So we can see here that the Son came in the name of the Father, and the Son coming in the name of the Father means that he came as the Father. So this is equivalent to the Son being the Father. Hence, now we can see how God is called the Father in Isaiah 9:6. In the Divine Trinity, the Son, the Father, and the Spirit are all one. The Son came, but the Son and the Father cohere. To cohere is to mutually indwell each other. So the Son is in the Father, and the Father is in the Son. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are really one. No one can ever divide them. There is a distinction among them, but there is no separation. For example, in the Lord's Prayer in John 17, he himself revealed that he and the Father are one. From all of this, we can see that the Father always participates in whatever the Son does, including the incarnation. We can see this in Jesus' words in John 14:10, which says, Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? Now we come to our next point, which is God the Spirit having joined the incarnation. verse Luke 1:35 says, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, also the holy thing which is born will be called the Son of God.'" In this verse, the angel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would come upon her as a power for her to conceive the Holy Child. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the origin of Jesus Christ was in this way. His mother Mary, after she had been engaged to Joseph, before they came together, was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 1:20 says, "But while he pondered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" These verses tell us further that Mary was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit, and that which has been begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. This indicates that the divine essence out of the Holy Spirit has been begotten in Mary's womb before she delivered the child Jesus. The incarnation was of the Son of God, but it was carried out by the Spirit. Thus, the Spirit also participated in the incarnation. So to summarize, the incarnation was of the Son of God, but it was carried out by the Spirit. And now we come to our final point. And that is that we can see that the entire triune God, that is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, was incarnated. Verse Hebrews 2:14 says, "Since therefore the children have shared in blood and flesh, he also himself in like manner partook of the same." The triune God, again, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, all came out of eternity with divinity to first enter into human beings, be one with man, make himself a man, participate in man's nature, and make himself one with man to be a part of man. Thus, we can simply and boldly say, from the time of his incarnation, Christ began to be in man and also to be a man. Do you see all that was included in the incarnation? Thank you, Lord. Bye-bye.